so we read ourselves and to others without considering others. That maybe they don't have the same feeling about it as I do, you know. We assume, like, good morning, and you go,
rough morning.
What's good about it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, let's not. You know, everybody don't do it. So let's get accustomed to speaking for ourselves.
I can be partial.
And I can be impartial. I'm a man of integrity. If I'm not a man of integrity, then I shouldn't be standing in this position.
That's true.
So who can give me a scripture that speaks to that? You don't even have to flip to it. Just give me the verse.
The one that says a bishop should be
blameless. That's a very good one. That wasn't the one. That wasn't the one I had in mind.
But that one.
And then there's also
an apostle then must be blameless.
Oh, did you do
that? Then Colossians.
But the one I'm thinking of it says, "Thou that teaches another."
Oh, okay.
To steal?
Do thou steal?
So I should be, you know, say, he that, he said, first take the mote, the beam out of your own eye before you try to take the mote out of somebody else's eye. And the songwriter said, what? Sweep around your own front door, sweep around mine. Sweep around your own front door, sweep around mine. Y'all don't understand those kind of metaphors because nobody sweeps around their front doors anymore. Huh? What?
Don't it mean my own business?
Yeah, we've been talking about your affairs. Don't busybody into other people's affairs. But what it's basically saying is before you start throwing rocks, make sure you don't live in a glass house. In other words, make sure that you're not doing what you are indicting others for doing or teaching others not to do. Right? That's basically what it's saying. What I'm saying to you is don't assume that everybody's that way. Because everybody's not that way. Mother Irving would tell you when you say things like, speak for yourself!
Mm-hmm.
Why are you testifying? Speak for yourself!
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't all do those things. We don't all have those same feelings and desires and whatever and whatever. We do have some things in common, but there's a lot of things that we don't have in common and don't. So don't project yourself. We have a tendency to do that, project ourselves onto others. We shouldn't do that. Okay, very good. My energy level is going down there. So I need somebody to energize me.
Attitude is everything.
Thank you very much.
Woke everybody up.
Thank you very much. Speaking of that, we ask you to do something, and I wonder, does anyone remember what I asked you to do?
Find some scriptures that coincide with that introduction.
I'm doing that. Pass these to
Reverend Floyd.
Reverend Floyd.
Wonderful.
In case he might.
The bill, we need you to pay that.
Oh, yeah, make a deal.
He'll understand. It's not for every public consumption, you know it was done in public. Okay, we were talking about the 10 steps to improving your attitudes. And step number one said, understand the power of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And we ask you to look for, oh, did I answer the question without giving you an opportunity?
You said look for scriptures. Yes. You began to answer the question without giving us, but we have began to give it to you.
Not what I mean just now.
Sort of. You didn't give us the whole answer, but go ahead.
Okay, so what did I ask you to do? Find some scriptures regarding attitude. Attitude
is everything.
Everything. Attitude is everything. All right. Anybody got a scripture? Yes, ma'am.
I have a bunch of them. Philippians.
She's got a bunch of them. Let's give her.
Ooh. All right.
Philippians 2:14.
Do all things without murmurings and disputings.
Whoa, whoa, stop that. Stop right there. It says what?
Do all things without murmurings and disputings.
Do all things. That's directly toward what?
Attitude.
I wonder why things don't get ahead.
Hmm. Well,
man shall not live by
bread alone,
but by
every word.
So you should be living by this
word.
Word that says what?
Do all things without murmuring and disputing.
Yes, ma'am. That's it. Very good. Do all things without murmuring. Do you incorporate that into your life? Oh, that's too much. Oh, that's too hot. Oh, that's too cold. Oh, that's too far. Oh. Attitude
is everything.
The power of attitude. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Proverbs 17:22. Proverbs 17:22.
Mm-hmm.
A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones.
A merry heart. Hey, it's a hat.
It's a happy day.
Oh, what a wonderful morning. Oh, what a wonderful day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a wonderful morning. Everything going my way. Wake up. Get up with a positive attitude.
That's it. That's it.
Yes, ma'am. Your daughter interrupted you. She wants it.
I have mine. I just wonder if they all will go viral. They mine. So, I have two. Okay. The first one is 1 Peter 3:8-9. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit the blessing. So that's talking about your demeanor. Nice, all the good stuff. And this is my other one, Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you that which was also in Christ, which is, you know, first, wait, and same, be as Christ was.
All right. Very good. You know, very good. All about your attitude and approach.
Approach.
It serve you well to have a positive attitude. Not that we're cutting you off. They don't want you to leave us far as students. So can someone else want to be a contributor? Make your contribution. Speak now or forever in this class.
I don't have the
hold that piece.
No.
Yes, sir. You got one?
Oh,
I want to give it back to the wife.
Yeah, no. She has my notes. No. I was going to say you work as if you're working unto the Lord, but I didn't.
Work as if you're working unto the Lord. Where is it found?
And I did not look that one up.
I'm just
going off of memory.
That's why you tried that big dog.
Yeah, and I said, that's absolutely correct.
I knew a man, Bojangles.
Did his dance. That's it. I did my dance.
Your soft shoe. Jump so high, jump so high. Then he loved it just down. Yes, sir.
Acts 17 and 28.
And that says?
For in him we live, we move, and have our being.
Okay. In him we live, we move,
and we have our,
being. Okay. In him we live, we move, we have our being. We get our substance and everything from him. All right. Any more. So you see, right there. There's a, how do you say that word, plethora?
A plethora.
Plethora. Plethora?
A plethora.
Of scriptures that deal with our attitudes, our approach to life. And that positive attitude will serve you well. So, we're talking about improving our attitude. Now, don't nobody pretend like your attitude don't need
adjustment.
don't pretend like your attitude don't need
adjustment. Is it me?
Is it I? Oh, Lord.
Don't pretend. Let's be honest with ourselves. We can all improve on our attitudes, right? Yes, we can. We can all improve on our attitudes. Hey, very good. Now, I want to add one. This is to the woe is me people. The woe is me. Some of us have a woe is me approach to life. Woe is me attitude. Everything is dreadful day. Dreadful day. You don't like hanging around those kind of people, do you? Mm-hmm. Woe is me. Okay. 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, 4th chapter. And we're talking about
attitude is everything.
That's what we're talking about. Having a positive attitude. All circumstances and situations. Attitude is everything. We're talking about improving our attitude. Making an attitude tune-up. Mm-hmm. Attitude tune-up. So 2 Corinthians 4th chapter, let's start at verse 1. The part that I want to do is not directly in verse 1, but it leads up to the whole thing. And sometimes you like to get the flavor of what's going on. 2 Corinthians 4th chapter,
verse 1.
Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not.
Read like everybody's like me and can't hear.
Therefore, seeing we have this mystery, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by man's dictation, of the truth condemning ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost.
Michael Hamilton,
you
read on.
In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, give shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen...
Now, here's the part you need to listen up to.
But we have this treasure...
We have a treasure.
We have a treasure.
The dwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have it in an earthen vessel.
Mm-hmm.
That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
Right, so if it wasn't in an earthen vessel, one that's tarnished and with all of the foibles that we come with, you know, shortcomings and everything, right. We have a heavenly gift.
Heavenly gift.
And this heavenly treasure in this
earth
means that in my flesh dwells no
good thing.
Good thing. But we have that in Rion.
We are troubled on every side.
We're troubled. Now, here's your attitude. We're troubled.
We're troubled.
Don't think there's not going to be trouble, and don't think you're not troubled. But we're troubled on every
side. Yet not distressed.
Yet not distressed. Trouble shouldn't, and if you manage it properly, mm-hmm. and if you have that attitude, it will not distress you.
Will not distress you.
No.
We are perplexed, but not in despair.
I got a conundrum going on here. I'm broken. The car needs fixing, and I got to get up and down. But we're not what? Distressed.
It's not distressed.
I haven't pushed the panic button. Mm-hmm. My heart is not. I'm not screaming at everybody.
Persecuted,
well, we're not forsaken. We don't go around thinking that he forgot all about me. Just because folks are picking on me. Mm-hmm. You know. Because the world has turned its face against me. Because nothing is going right. He hasn't forgotten us because he promised us he would not forsake us. Neither will he leave us. We have to have that positive attitude. I agree on it.
Cast down but not destroyed.
We're cast down. They kick me to the curb, y'all say.
Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus.
That dying life. Of the Lord Jesus. Okay, so that's good enough. That's where I wanted you to see that. No matter circumstances, we're not thrown off our game. Okay? I used to play a little sports, and they try to confuse you, and they talk about your mama, and they pinch you on the backside, and they do everything to throw you off your game. Anybody play any sports?
Mm-hmm. I play volleyball.
You play volleyball. That's a sport. Here's my soccer star. You play the wood ball, right? He's a pretty good athlete.
I play basketball.
You shoot the hoop, huh? We call it the round ball in the Stone Age. Yes.
I play soccer.
You do? Wow. Wonderful.
I do too.
You do too? Wonderful. That all helps your attitude. Everybody needs a passion. Everybody needs a hobby or something to take their mind off of the everyday stresses of life. Okay? You need something to take your mind off. And for different individuals, it's different things. You know, somebody might be a good old book, right? Somebody might But you need something to take your mind away. Somebody might go fishing. You sit out there for hours. And I go out and sit out for 10 minutes and hope I don't catch anything. But my nephew there, he likes to go sit on the bench if he can. Sit on the bench.
Yeah.
Well, everybody needs something to take your mind off of the daily stresses of life. You know, and a positive attitude and a good attitude. That's one of the things you need is exercise. You need a break every now and then. You need to eat good, healthy, wholesome food. You know. Last night I wore this slacks to my first white suits. I don't have any of the jackets left. They're gone. I just threw the jackets away and kept the slacks. But they were beyond wearing because I was up to my newer white suits. Now the newer white suits are actually too big. I got cat eyes in the back and everything is pulled together. Because I woke up and I said, whoa, I got to do something.
Got to do something.
You need rest. Everybody needs to get a good night's sleep, at least 8 hours. Try to get as close to 8 as you can, unbroken sleep. Yeah, baby. You can put them on your schedule so you can sleep when the baby can sleep. You sleep when the baby sleeps.
That's right.
Because they're going to be on a different schedule than you, so you got to sleep when they sleep. Up when you're up. Anyway, I had to get to that. But anyway, so, healthy, wholesome, all of that is about your attitude. Your attitude is very important. It's important to understand the power of attitude. I'm going to read a little bit. I haven't let you do much today, have I? I haven't let you ask questions and all of that. Talk about Passover and all that. But we will. This is my day, remember, I get to do stuff today.
All right. Page of you.
Where was I? This book was given to me in 2001. And I thought I'd share some of the things with you. I've shared a lot of this with you before. And it's because, and the reason I liked it, the book, is because it mirrored a lot of the things that I teach and believe. Just in case. I didn't get them out of the book. The book just happened to agree with what the Bible was already teaching me. In the introduction I read to you last time, said, your attitude today determines your success tomorrow. Your attitude today determines your success tomorrow. I'm going to do it a little bit and then I'm going to let it go. I'm going to go through this entire book before things are said and done. I don't quite remember. I didn't mark it. So, I'm going to just pick it up right here. Step one. Pay close attention. Understand the power of attitude. Your attitude is a powerful tool for positive action. It's inherently interwoven in everything you do. It is your most priceless possession. The good news is you don't have to buy it, but you do have to develop it. In the first chapter, you will discover what attitude is, the power of attitude, and how your attitude reflects you. You'll learn to recognize that you can control your destiny by learning the four things you need to do to stay positive, even in most challenging times. Four things you need to do to stay positive. Let's see if I can find those. He said he was going to do those in the first chapter. Okay, the first thing. Oh, that's different. Anyway, I'll tell you a little bit about it. Let's talk a little bit about the guy, the architect. He was an athlete. He was a basketball player. Pretty tall guy, you can see by the picture. He's a basketball player. Used to play. Played high school ball, all American. Played for his high school team. They won state championships, and he was the most valuable player in the tournament. Went to college on a 4-year scholarship, played basketball in college, and he averaged 21 points a game. Those of you that's not not into that. It's pretty good average, 21 points a game. You know. And so, once he graduates, guess what he's looking forward to?
The NBA.
Looking forward to the NBA draft. Looking forward to the NBA draft. So if any of you ever watched the draft, the NBA and NFL, you've seen how they're sitting there just nervous and waiting, and everybody's calling their name, and everybody's, you know, they're looking to make a big payday. To go into what y'all call baller category. He's ready to become a baller. But as they sit there and they go through it, guess what? They went all the way through the draft, and he didn't get picked.
Wow.
I know what that's like. I wasn't in the draft or anything, but you put all your energies into something. You put all your energy into something. You know, and I'm not talking about casual like y'all do. You know, like, I can't dribble with my left hand, so I tie my right hand around, and everything I do from then on is left-handed.
That's left-handed.
That kind of dedication and discipline. From now on, I do everything left-handed, because I've got a goal. I know I can use it right, but I'm not going to use it anymore. Everything I do it left-handed now. So I can learn how. You wake up with a basketball in your hand.
Yeah.
You sleep with a basketball.
You sleep with a basketball.
I was inspired by a movie called Go Man Go. Y'all, everybody in here is not sports fans, and you're not old enough anyway, even if you were a sports fan. The movie was about the Globetrotters, the original Globetrotters. And it was about the main character was Goose Tatum. Y'all too young for Goose. He wasn't part of y'all Globetrotter group. He was one of the original guys, and he was the dribbler. I'm saying that because to show his dedication. In his bedroom, up over his bed, guess what he had?
A basketball
hoop. Mm-hmm. And so he'd lay in bed shooting hoops, dedicated.
Uh-huh.
So if you're aspiring to be anything, you got to be dedicated to your cause. I always, in my car, I always have my Chuck Taylors.
Oh, yeah.
My Converse.
Converse.
In my trunk of my car. I always have my basketball in the trunk of my car. Sometimes I'd be driving, going somewhere, and I pass the park, and I see a couple of guys shooting a hoop. Guess what I'm going to do? Pull over. I'm going to do that. I got an opportunity because I'm dedicated. When I graduated from high school, we lived on the second floor. When I graduated from high school, my mom was 62 years old. No, 65. She was born in 1899. I graduated in 63. That makes her what?
Wow.
64. Thank you. She was 64 years old when I graduated. I'm telling you this stuff. This is all about dedication and attitude. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm still talking about
the
approach to things. I used to get up in the morning, and I'd jog, you know, jog for miles in the morning. And I'd go out to the park after my jog, and I'd shoot. I don't have anything to do. I'm not a working person. I'm in school. So I'm out in the morning shooting basketball. I go from the basketball to the football game. We play pickup football. go from the football to baseball. We play pickup baseball. Then I go back and play more basketball. Then I have team games because I'm on a team, on three teams, basketball team. So I got a game, and I got another game, and I got another game. I was up about 5 o'clock in the morning, from 5 o'clock in the morning until about 10 o'clock that night, rolling from one game to another, because that's what I did. That's what I was aspiring to do. I put all that energy in that. I'm trying to show you how
dedication.
Things can change, your dedication and your
determination.
But that day, anybody ever had leg cramps? You ever had toe cramps? You had ear cramps? Now, athletes that are real athletes, they will tell you that they get cramps where y'all have never had cramps. Like in your buttocks start cramping. But when I got home, see, I got to go to the first step and then the porch and then into the foyer. Now I got another flight of steps to go up to the second floor. When I hit that first step, everything, every muscle in my body froze and started cramping. I mean, it's like, I can't move. I tried to crawl, but I couldn't crawl because your arms, your legs, everything just locked up and froze and started aching. And my 64-year-old mother had to come downstairs, put me on her shoulders, and crawl me, carry me upstairs.
Upstairs.
And I hit the bed, and I couldn't move. But guess what, next morning, I'm back at it again. I'm back at it again. Dedication. When you want to do something, you got to dedicate yourself. Okay, this gentleman, Keith Harrell, had dedicated himself. And so you can imagine the disappointment when he didn't make it. So he was just devastated. Didn't know what to do. Didn't know where to go. How to change. What am I going to do next? What I'm going to do now. Everything that I anticipated, all of my goals and everything is shattered. Just like that. Boom. That's life, y'all.
That's life.
That's 4 Corinthians. We're perplexed because of things that happen to us. Situations, family situations. All kinds of things. Did you not know that your attitude can help you at home?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go through this book. I just wanted to give you some some more on his story. What happens is he decided to get a job.
In Alaska.
Well, he decided to move away.
Yeah.
Get a job. So he was in Seattle. That's where he went to school at college. Got his degree, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he decided, okay, I'm going to go to Alaska and get a start. But he couldn't get a job. So he said, I believe it was his cousin. Either his cousin or one of his relatives.
Yeah, one of the relatives.
So he got a job as a painter.
As a painter.
You know, never painted. Yeah, so. Never painted before, so that makes him a what?
A rookie.
A rookie, a beginner. He's a beginner, so he's getting paint all over him, but not on the wall. So he realized he couldn't paint, so he was a painter apprentice, so he realized he couldn't paint, so they put him on the trimmings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I remember
prep work.
Bishop Russell used to tell me, say, when he started his boys off painting in his painting business, he put them in the closet. You know, you get to paint the inside of the closet. But this is when they're very young. reason he went to Alaska was because the people that knew him, this is one of the reasons I came to California. Mm. The people that knew him had high expectations
high
for
expectations.
Him. And when they would see him, they would always remind him, oh, I thought you were in the NBA, or why aren't you a basketball player?
Basketball.
And the whole line. And that just brings him down more. That just brings him down more. It brings him down more, more and more and more. Because everybody is around him. So he says, I'm getting away from these folks. Go somewhere else and see that. Well, lo and behold.
An old painter.
While he was painting, this old guy recognized him and said, I used to be one of your greatest fans.
That's it.
So what are you doing here painting?
Mm-hmm.
You have greater potential than that.
Greater potential.
You should be out doing better things than around here trying to paint.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that woke him up.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he realized he had a cousin, I think it was.
Cousin, that's it.
That worked for IBM.
IBM, Big Blue.
He said, Big Blue. IBM. And he read their policy. They had a policy that they never fired anybody. Anybody that worked hard and did their work. I don't know if they've ever laid off anybody. Now, it may have changed, but...
It's changed.
And the dot-com era, I think, when it changed, because back then they had no competition. Big Blue had no competition. But anyway, he decided he wants to work for IBM. If I'm going to do this, I'm going for the best. I'm going for IBM. Well, when he realized that he wasn't qualified or had whatever to work for IBM either, his cousin said, here's what I do. And this first part, I'm going to finish the story. We're going to cover this later. And we're going to get into some other things, get into some Passover things. And then we're going to do a karaoke. You're going to help me do a karaoke this morning.
Mm-hmm.
This is our pastoral morning. I do pastoral stuff and all kinds of whatever I kind of feel like doing. And then once we're done, we'll be done and we'll go to our meal. But we have also a brief service before we do that. But anyway, just so you be ready to participate. It's all about participating.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about So, where was I?
IBM boot camp.
Huh? The first thing he did was his cousin said, okay, here's what I'll do. He was a manager or something for IBM. He says, what I'll do is I'll train you.
Train you?
I'll get you ready for the interview, even though they're not hiring. I'll get you ready for the interview, and I know some people I can introduce you to, and they can help us out and all of the whole thing like that. Here's one thing you need to remember. Better to be prepared for an opportunity and not have one.
That's right.
Than have an opportunity and not be prepared.
That's right. Amen.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be ready to pounce on whatever comes.
Mm-hmm.
And it amazes me how much this gentleman's life parallels mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I've never really worked for a small company. I've never worked for a small company. Every company I worked for has been the leading company in their field. Again, you're too young to remember some of these or to know some of them. The leading advertising company used to be R.L. Polk. So I worked for R.L. Polk Company. Maybe Lady Collins and the wife might remember. They might remember. But whenever you bought a new or used car, they used to always send you advertisements with swatches of seat covers. Y'all remember the plastic seat covers? Lady Collins for new cars. They used to come from Faruha. Advertised by Faruha. Guys may remember Faruha from the trucks, and they had the flaps on the back say, anyway. You're not that observant. Anyway. Anyway, so what R.L. Polk did, they did they had the cloth seat covers and automobiles and the various designs, you know, and then they had the, the strange fabric. The only thing wrong with those seat covers is they used to switch. Well, so anyway, you used to get them in the mail from R.L. Polk Company. They the one did the mailing. I worked for that big company.
Mm-hmm.
The next big company I worked for was AT&T.
Yeah.
I worked for a construction company called J.F. Harrod. They were one of the biggest at the time going, and especially in that area. AT&T,
also known as
Standard Oil of Ohio, mm-hmm. California State Court of Appeal, USL Capital, which was the number one leasing company at the time. You wouldn't recognize a lot of the big companies you don't recognize because they own a lot of small things. Like the company, the leasing company I worked for, leased most of the aircraft that you flew on,
mm-hmm.
like Southwest,
mm-hmm.
United. They leased those planes to them. All your hospital equipment was leased from them. Your automatic tellers, ATMs was leased from them. Your cash registers, your scanning.
Mm-hmm. Bar scanning.
Mm-hmm. When you go to the grocery store, they scan those. They started out with NCR cash registers and Pitney Bowes.
Pitney Bowes.
You that work in the office know Pitney Bowes mailing.
Pitney Bowes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And copies.
They had exclusives on Pitney Bowes mailing machine. Those of you that worked in the office when they had the big old word processors from Wayne.
Wayne.
Word processors.
Years.
They leased all of the word intervals. This is a big leasing company.
30 years.
You wouldn't recognize the name.
Right.
And we were later bought off by Ford.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked for Ford Motor Credit. Those of you that got anything from Ford Motor Credit, your payment came through. I was a supervisor for that payment processing department. And your payments came through my department. Your Ford Motor. Your Dunn Brothers came.
Mm-hmm.
Came through my department. Y'all know Dunlutters, right? That's the one
down
you
in
get.
Bryce Street?
Your payment is due.
Oh.
The first one is a mile. The second one is a little stronger. And the third one, pay up or else.
Dunlutters. Gotcha.
That's what they're called, Dunlutters.
I'm thinking Dunn and Bryce Street.
Yeah, come, you know, Dunlutters. So. This gentleman, he wanted to work for the biggest and the best. And the other thing that paralleled, when I got the job from U.S. Leasing, this is the same thing his relative.
His cousin.
When he showed up for the first session with his cousin, he came
home.
His cousin sent him home. Go! What? You're not dressed right.
Mm-hmm.
You're dressed like you're ready to go
to
go on a date. Go out to the club. You're dressed like, you know, he had on his suede shoes, blue suede shoes. He had on his, you know, he was dressed like, he was dressed. But he wasn't dressed, you know. So we had to go out and put on the appropriate attire. You know, you got to learn how to dress when you go on the interview. Can't just dress any kind of way. There's a business look. Now, when you go to their job, you know, like, they have a super casual look. You know, when you're a techie in Silicon Valley, you can get away with it.
Shorts, sandals, and a dog.
You can get away with it. But you got no language when you walk in there.
That is no language.
You got to unlock the language to anything. Anything you want to be successful at, you got to unlock the language.
Mm-hmm.
That's your first step, is to unlock the language that's being spoken. You know. That's why folks can pretend to be good old sanctified folks.
Man, you got the language.
Because they know all the language.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. How you doing?
Everybody,
I'm blessed.
Praise the Lord.
I'm blessed and highly favored.
Highly favored.
That's right.
They know the language.
Yeah.
So once you know the language, folks begin to accept you into the club, you know. So, you know, that they learn the language. But he was not dressed appropriately. So his brother told him, every time you come in here, you show up like you're going to work. Mm-hmm. That's how I got that job with U.S. Leasing. Mm-hmm. I used to get up in the morning and get dressed. Those of you that are looking for a job, it's harder to, that's harder work than the actual job you want to get. That's harder work. Mm-hmm. And you can't, you got to go out in the morning and come back in the evening, just like you went on out for work. You can't just, I know, they got the computer now, so you can, a lot of things is done online. So you got to stay online there. A lot of things done online. You just can't take a casual approach. I had a certain number of interviews lined up for each day. And if I didn't have any interviews lined up, I did cold calls, you know. And if I had time between interviews, here's what you do. I'm interviewing at the people next door. Okay, when that interview is over, if I got time between the next interview, guess what? I go next door and say, I could have to speak to the person that does your hiring. I don't want HR. I don't want any. I want the person that does the hiring. Whoever they are, we're not hiring. Can I speak to the person that does your hiring? You know, never take no for an answer, especially the first no. Persistence. How did I get into that one? Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm coming back to attitude is everything, and we're going to move on. But it's my day. I can do what I do. Okay, so I go and I go to the to next door or two doors down and check and see if they're hiring or if they have openings or why do you think I did that?
What?
Because you're looking for a job.
I'm looking for a job, but why do you think I just go to the next door or down
because
two doors?
Because they're not hiring. They might be hiring.
Yeah, that's true, but why would I go directly to those that are there in that area?
They're typically businesses that are kind of in the same field are right there together.
They stay together, just like restaurants. You know, you see Jack in the Box, McDonald's across the street. They all stay in one area. So chances are they're in the same business that you're looking for work in. They're in the same business. And so that's it. But, okay, any questions on attitude is everything? We're going to go through this whole book. And those of you that, I think they have some downloads free. Maybe? No. But you can get the attitude. You can download it to your gadget online for $9.95. Keith Harrell, attitude is everything.
Attitude is everything.
I used to do this quite often. I haven't done it in a long time. You know, bring in things like this, and something just sparked in my spirit to do it again. And so we're going to go, because it's important, your attitude and your approach to life. It will be a life-changing thing if you can improve your approach and your attitude in life. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to lay that one aside. But before I do, anybody got any questions about attitude? Like I say, don't pretend now. Hey. Yeah, this is really stuff. Don't pretend like you don't need an attitude tuna. We all can tune our attitude. We all can improve. If you got a bad attitude, don't feel bad. You can improve it. If you got a good attitude, don't feel good about it. So good about yourself. That can be improved on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can all use an attitude tune-up. You know, it will make a big difference in your life. You know. Yeah. It'll make a big difference. I'm trying to get saints to be passionate about something.
Mm-hmm.
Be passionate about something. Mm-hmm. For some reason, we're I don't mean to talk about us, but we're kind of dull. Let's go back to 4 Corinthians and pick up where we left at. Oh, I want to show you something.
That's up in verse 10.
Yeah, I want to show you 2 Corinthians, I mean 4th chapter.
4th chapter, verse 10.
I want to show you something there, and it's a grammatical style that I want to show you. It's all about how Paul talks here.
Second Corinthians 4:10.
Yeah, what is that?
Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raises up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you.
What I wanted you to see there, you don't have to continue to read it. He uses we and us and you. And the we that he uses is using the royal we. And the us is a royal us. He's talking about himself, basically. Mm-hmm. And those who live the life of Christ. And you, in particular, he's talking to those of Corinthians. I just wanted you to see that royal we and the royal us, because people struggle with that when they read it in Genesis, when he says, let us make man. You know, he's not talking about somebody that's helping him make man. He's talking about me and everything that makes me up. That's called the royal we or the royal us. Look it up in your grammar sometimes and you'll understand a little bit better. I just want, because that's one place that it's used there. I'm glad to see you. Pastor Hawkins.
Amen.
And come in.
Amen.
And those that are with her, Sam, Sammy, and Sister Catherine, Sister Kathy. Who, I saw somebody else, didn't I? Oh, there you go.
Brother Kevin.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Brother Tim. Amen. Glad to see you all coming in. This is my day. I get to do stuff. Shepherd kind of stuff today. That's what I'm doing. But I was about to open you up to questions on attitude and is everything. No questions? Comments? Observations?
I have a couple of comments and observations.
Yes, ma'am.
When I was a hiring manager, the person's attitude when they came in determined whether I was going to even bother trying to interview them.
Ooh.
Right. That's a lot of companies.
That's true.
That's a lot of companies are like
no,
that.
No, that's true.
They want you more for your attitude. And in the book that I'm reading, we're going to read through with you. In that book, it talks about Southwest Airlines. Mm-hmm. And the hiring manager for Southwest Airlines, the first thing that he said he would look for is attitude.
His attitude.
Didn't care if you knew how to do the job or anything, or your background or anything. He was looking for people with the right attitude, because Southwest is known for, you know, their off-color jokes and and their temperament and everything, and their flight attendants. Yes, sir.
No, I wanted to add to what Lady Hamner said about attitude and hiring practices. One of the things I've noticed, I too have been a hiring manager, and I am a hiring manager, but I've noticed across departments that people are let go because of their attitude not fitting the culture of, you know, what the company is trying to do as a whole.
Right. You might be able to do the work.
Right. You might be.
The attitude is wrong. Whoa.
And you may even have an advanced degree, and they still let you go. Advanced degree meaning master's or doctorate degree. You're super smart, but if the attitude doesn't fit the culture, boom, you're gone.
Yeah, your attitude makes a big difference. Yes, ma'am, were you finished?
Also in church, especially, at least I know when we were growing up and you always started off being a junior usher, that was kind of like the entry into actually doing something different in church. And that was one of the biggest things they taught us was, you are representing the church. You are the first people that people see when they come in. So if you act like you don't want to be there, standing all nonchalant, not in tune in what's going on, then that attitude sometimes will turn people off or turn people away because of that attitude.
She said sometimes, I'm going to say all the time. Your attitude is very important, especially in church. The church has to have an atmosphere, a welcoming, hospitable atmosphere in order for it to thrive. It can exist, and it will exist often, in spite of, especially when people get to a size kind of like we are, and everybody knows everybody, and we're all comfortable with each other, and everything hunky-dory. And we say, we're having peas today, and so everybody say, okay, we're having green peas. Or they say no, and we say, we can slough it off. Well, that's Ariane. She don't like peas. And she ain't gonna like whatever we have, so we just write that off, and we're used to each other. We're accustomed to each other, our good habits, our bad habits, mm-hmm. everything, so we just kind of, mm-hmm. but everybody else coming in going, oh, you know, well, what's wrong? They need an attitude on them, just. We used to each other yelling at each other across the kitchen, you know.
Don't go to the kitchen.
You know. Don't eat all crap, you can let save me a piece.
Save me a piece. Save me a piece.
Apostle, I know sometimes I may have a solemn look on my face. I don't mean any harm, but and I say that to say sometimes I see some other faces. I try to help them smile. I guess it's just human relations.
Yeah.
Try to help them have a good attitude. It's an ugly face. It's an ugly spirit. It's an ugly everything.
Well, in the church.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Now, the next Sabbath, they might be okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Is there anything?
That's why I'm going through this with the saints. Attitude is everything, and the 10 steps to improving your attitude. Attitude is everything. There are 10 steps to improving your attitude. But just like anything else, you got to work at it.
Got to work at it.
And I find we got some lazy folks. We got to exert energy or put any effort into it. We back off. But you got to have a passion. You got to have a zeal and a desire to improve. You got to want to improve. And we can all improve. I'm not trying to say that I can't improve. I can. But I would be a poor pastor mm-hmm. if I was on the same level as you. If I didn't have a good attitude, I'd be a poor individual trying to tell you to have a good attitude, and my attitude is in the dumps. All right, anybody else? Anything else? We're going to switch.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to switch gears now.